Hi, this is Mark Waid, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 324 of Longbox Heroes. I'm Todd, joined with Joe. I got that right. How you doing today, Joe?
Hey, I'm doing good. We're recording a podcast talking about comic books.
That's
coming
right.
At ya.
We love comic books.
Right, we do. We actually do. We genuinely do. We don't.
I do.
Nah, I'm not even going to go down that road.
We're not phonies.
No, right. But I would never call anyone like a fake geek man or woman or whatever, because comics really are for everyone. And just because you don't buy a ton of books like Todd and I do, you just watch the movies or you just watch the TV shows. Hey, that's good for you. Anything helps all of us. Any contributions to anything of comics helps all of us in the long run.
Right. I agree.
I almost said something I shouldn't. So what do we got on the show today, Todd?
That's the history of your life. What we have on the show today is an agenda variant cover.
Mm.
Free comic book day stuff.
Yes.
More news on a DC spinoff movie.
What?
You got to spin movies off. And possibly more in the news. Cons. I don't think we have any cons this week, do we?
I'm going to double check when we get to that section.
All right, just checking. We have free digital books and sales. We have what we read last week, which was Dr. Aphra, Batman 12, and Nightwing 12, is it?
Nightwing 10.
10. All right, I didn't have it in front of me. I'm sorry. Also, what we're looking forward to this week, the topic this week is the best single issue story. And at the end of the show, we have spoiler-filled talk of The Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and The Walking Dead, which will be the last of TV shows for a while, I guess.
At the very least, until like the second or third week of January for most, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes.
But getting into news, before we get into all the news that we talked about, I want to know how you feel about Deadpool getting a Golden Globe nomination and the old double R getting a Golden Globe nomination as an actor. This is fantastic. Comic books are finally becoming mainstream in award shows, and the one true Deadpool is getting some recognition.
I care so much about the Golden Globes. This is news to me.
Well, this is why every once in a while I have to spread my tentacles out to where you don't look.
When he is up for an Oscar, mm-hmm. Give me a call.
Oh, if he's up for an Oscar for Deadpool?
The Hollywood Foreign Press. What is it, best actor in a comedy or musical or something?
Yes, it is. Yes, right. It is.
You're going to make me look this up now.
It is. It is. Comedy or musical?
Well, I want to see who he's up against.
Well, there was some musical stuff going on in there, too, so it's kind of like both, I guess.
Right, sure.
When he was doing Shoop Baby Shoop, that could be musical.
I gotta be careful. It's two things I almost said I shouldn't say on the show, Todd.
Well, like, you gonna go for the trifecta?
No. Okay. So he is up against Hugh Grant in Florence Foster Jenkins. I don't know what that is.
He's not going to win. Deadpool was better.
Jonah Hill in the film War Dogs.
Deadpool was better.
Did you see War Dogs?
No, it's just fact.
Colin Farrell in The Lobster.
Deadpool was better.
Okay. And Ryan Gosling in La La Land.
Deadpool's going to clean up at the Golden Globes.
You want to put some money down here, Mr. I think I'm funny talking about this?
Well, first of all, get to the bet, I just want to say the best thing that's ever going to happen is when the DVDs of Deadpool from here on out are going to have Golden Globe nominated movie Deadpool.
Oh, no. I'm excited for them to do like the video with the poor voiceover of, like, the stock footage that they have, where he is kind of holding two Golden Globe awards in front of his male private area.
Oh, fantastic!
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's almost as though I got an advanced copy of the script of what they're going to do, Todd.
Well, see, the Deadpool scripts are so layered that it's like sometimes, you know, I don't even know how you could guess that.
That's right, just layered with swears and ADR swears.
Oh, that's fantastic. But what do you want to... I think he's at least taking home one of those.
Okay, so for musical or comedy, 20th Century Woman, Deadpool, La La Land, Florence Foster Jenkins, and Sing Street are what's up for Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy.
Right. So I don't know whether it's going to be... I hope Ryan Reynolds personally wins, because he really is the Deadpool movie. Without him, there is no Deadpool movie. I would like to see the movie win and Ryan Reynolds, but I think one of them's coming away with.
Okay. La La Land is going to sweep the awards.
Why?
More or less everything that it's up for, it's going to win. It's going to win Best Picture, and Gosling is going to win for Best Actor.
Okay.
100%. Ryan Reynolds. I think this was done as a rib on me.
A gentle ribbing on you?
Right.
And we know how well you take that. So.
Oh, boy.
But
I don't know.
I think they're taking one, Joe. So I think
they're less than a month away.
Mm-hmm.
So we've already got the Civil War back.
Right.
Whereas if Civil War comes out before the calendar year 2016, I have to go watch a Raiders playoff game with you.
Right.
And when it doesn't come out, you have to come to my house and watch the Royal Rumble.
Or WrestleMania said you didn't decide, but either one's fine.
We could double it up. We can go double or nothing on this.
Oh, so what you're saying is you'd have to watch two playoff games?
Or if the Raiders make it to the Super Bowl or something like that.
Right.
And then, of course, when Ryan Reynolds doesn't... Now, are we going... is the bet has to win one or both? Like, if he wins one, you win.
Mm-hmm.
If he wins both, obviously you win.
Right.
If he wins nothing, I win.
Right, so now is it double? Does that mean you wouldn't have to watch the playoff game?
Hmm. It would expunge my record, huh?
Right. But then, don't we have a bet with that Wonder Woman trade?
We do. We haven't put stakes on that, but that's not... That isn't allegedly coming out until April.
Right, so we could think about that one for a while.
Right, we got plenty of time for them to cancel that.
Right.
Oh! Oof. I got my end of what that Wonder Woman thing would be. I don't know, you'll have to think about your end of it. Right. So yeah, it's double or nothing. So... Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool wins zero, I win.
And then by winning zero, or him losing both, you expunge your record and it's a push.
Right.
But if he wins at least one...
Yes.
Then you would have to watch two games at some point.
Right.
See, the gambler in me wants to take this bet.
Yes.
But the gambler in me knows... I've pretty much won the Civil War Bowl bet.
You think?
I think, because if they were going to push that book back, they would have announced it already.
Hmm.
Because it's only as this comes out that it's 1 week away where we'll definitely know whether it's coming out or not. They're not going to wait till the last second and go,
no,
it's not
coming
out. No, because they would always announce it beforehand that it was getting pushed back.
Okay.
So, I think I'm not going to take this bet now.
Right.
I will take this bet. You know what? No, I'm not taking the bet. I'm just going to take you having to see a Raiders game.
All right.
Then if you want to bet after you lose the Civil War thing on a completely different note without making you even, I'm fine with that.
Right.
Do you see what I'm trying to say? I want the best of both worlds, is what I'm saying. I want another shot at the I want to win the title in a week, and then I want another shot to degrade you.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking for.
So you admit watching football is degrading?
For you.
Oh, okay.
Well, you want to degrade me by watching the Empire Rumble or whatever.
The Royal
Some
Rumble.
Royal thing. I don't know.
It's the most exciting, whatever they say. I don't know. Whatever the catchphrase this year is going to be for the Royal Rumble. Fantasy warfare come to life again or something.
That's right. Extra fantasy warfare.
All right. So maybe we'll take suggestions from the audience here as well. Ryan Reynolds and Deadpool, double loser. He's our double. He's going to be our double loser at the Golden Globes.
Wow. You just went full on Todd there.
And they always say, never go full Todd.
No, only go half Todd. You don't want to, at least if you're going to go full Todd, stretch first.
Right. There you go. Warm up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. So, hey, Todd, we actually have real news to talk about.
That was real news, but what else do we have to talk about?
Well, they announced the books for Free Comic Book Day next year, at least the golden books.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean those little ones that you read as a kid. These are the gold sponsors, your big publishers. Of course, Marvel and DC's are secret. Marvel's is something to do with Spider-Man. DC's is something to do with who knows what. Archie is doing a reprint of Betty and Veronica number one. Bongo is doing a Simpsons book. Boom is doing kind of like a catch-all for a lot of their books. Dark Horse is doing something called Briggs Land. And, Haffer with, Avatar, the James Cameron Avatar. IDW is doing some sort of Star Trek Next Generation Mirror Broken thing. I don't know if this is like the launch of a new series or something.
I don't know either, but that looks really good.
Our Oni Press is doing a Rick and Morty book. Titan is doing a Doctor Who book. Valiant is doing an Exo Manowar book. And Viz, I think for the first time on the Golden sponsor thing, is doing a Twilight Princess Legend of Zelda book, which is kind of cool. However, the one for me that I'm most excited for is the Image book, which is called I Hate Image. It's going to be done by Scotty Young, an offshoot of his I Hate Fairyland book, where Gertrude ends up in a secret passage where instead of the fairy tale world where she is wreaking havoc, she ends up in the Image Universe world, and it's going to feature people from Saga, Walking Dead, Savage Dragon, Spawn, Descender, Black Science, Southern Bastards, and many, many more.
Which is a really interesting idea,
yes.
I think.
I think that is the most ingenious of all the things. I love the cover of just her standing atop everyone. And I like looking at it, I'm like, ooh, there's Shaft from Youngblood. There's, you know, this one. There's that one. So I always like seeing these books. I like being forewarned and forearmed. I always like speculating on what the Marvel and DC books are going to be. But that Image book is like top of the food chain for me.
I like the idea of the Mirror Universe, Star Trek The Next Generation thing, more because that's more my wheelhouse. J.K. Woodward's art is fantastic. I love Star Trek Next Generation. They really didn't do much in the Mirror Universe for that TV show, but I'm looking forward to that. But I get the I Hate Fairyland. If I read I Hate Fairyland, it might be more interesting, so maybe I'll have to check this book out.
Yes, I recommend it. It's a fun book. It's a fun read. It's a goofy with premise. And I think that is kind of accessible even if you don't read I Hate Fairyland. It harkens back. Do you remember when Image first began and then they did like that two-issue miniseries called Splitting Image where they kind of poked fun at themselves?
Vaguely, yes.
Okay. I'm getting a real Splitting Image vibe from this.
You know, hey, copy an A, get an A.
That's right. Well, I don't think... And again, just as I ask you about Splitting Image, you're like, vaguely.
But you know what? In all honesty, Image at the time was not my cup of tea.
Oh, okay.
Like, when Image came out, I wasn't anti-Image.
Mm.
Like, I wanted to see the company fail. but it was like, nothing here is interesting me. Like, these aren't the guys that I would, like, Jim Lee, McFarlane, all that. I wasn't reading them at Marvel at the time. I was more of a DC guy at the time.
Gotcha.
So when they all, like, cut and ran and created their own company, I'm like, well, I wasn't reading the books they were on, so why would I go read these books that they're doing? And then it was the whole, well, these artists are writing their own books. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I don't know. Like, there's not too many artists who went on to be great writers, so I don't know how this is going to turn out.
Right. For me, it was more or less like, oh, I'm reading Spider-Man. Todd McFarlane's on Spider-Man, and now he left. I'll get the Todd McFarlane book, which was Spawn. Eric Larson was on a Spider-Man book. I really enjoyed it. He's doing Savage Dragon. I'll pick that up. And the only one that I stuck with for any real length of time was Spawn. In retrospect, not a great comic book, but still a very enjoyable and nice-looking comic book.
Fair enough.
Speaking of Image and how they've turned things around lately, it has been announced that issue 16 of Southern Bastards, which I think is coming out next month, yes, January 4th, again, sadly, a book that is late, but hey, you gotta get the big money books out.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing a variant cover, and this is not the first time that they have done this. They did a charity cover some time ago. This one is in response to a story that we didn't cover too much, because we usually stay away from, you know, real hot-button things, but there was the cover of Mockingbird by Chelsea Kane, where it had Mockingbird on the cover that said, "Ask me about my feminist agenda," which caused a surprising giant stir online. I'm kidding. It wasn't surprising. Everyone online is terrible.
You know what? I'll have to agree with you on that one.
So, last time that they did a charity cover for Walking Dead, I think it was around the time, remember when the Confederate flag was a real big hot button issue?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And there was, what they did was they donated to, like, the proceeds for the variant cover went to the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church shooting, and they raised $18,000.
Right. If that's what the charity was, I'll take your word for it, because I don't remember 100%, right. But that makes sense.
And this time, it's going to split the proceeds between the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ACLU. And this is one of those things where last time around, I got both covers because I'm a fan of the creators, Jason Aaron and Jason Latour. And it's a nice way for me to, you know, give back a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I only got the one cover at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But... whatever. I joked around. I think I said online when all that was going on that Snot Girl should have had a cover that said, "Ask me about my feminist agenda." And they didn't go for it.
Now, that one understand. Didn't like the World of Flame, Todd?
No, it didn't. I thought it was funny. "Ask me about my feminist agenda." That's gold right there. I offered that up on a platter.
But, right. You were like, you could have this. I don't want any money for this great idea that I have.
No, I was in a giving mood. I was in a giving mood.
Oh, you're such a delight, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
So the last bit of news, of course, to cover is late-ish breaking news, and that they announced a DC movie spinoff, a movie that was not originally on the Big Giant schedule. And that would be a Gotham City Sirens movie featuring Harley Quinn, still with Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, and David Ayer, the director of the Suicide Squad film, will be doing this as well. And Genevieve Robertson-Duarte, who did the Tomb Raider and Sherlock Holmes 3 films, is going to be doing the script for this film.
There was a Sherlock Holmes 3?
I'm only aware of two. I only saw one, but I'm aware of two.
Maybe they wrote a third and it's in the making or something. Who knows?
Maybe.
But I find that interesting. I wonder, you know, because the whole term Gotham City Sirens makes me wonder if Poison Ivy and Catwoman are going to be in the movie.
I'm sure that's what people are already speculating, of course. And I don't know who they're going to get to play Poison Ivy. I just hope this ties into the continuity of the Halle Berry Catwoman film.
Oh, that was a fantastic movie.
Yeah?
That was, Halle Berry was the Catwoman. When I think Catwoman, I think Halle Berry.
When I think Halle Berry, and I think Catwoman, I think how lucky you all are, and by you I mean everyone in the world, that they don't make comic book movies like that no more.
Our boy Tom Derenick drew the comic book version of that movie.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, remind me to tell you a few stories offline about that.
All right, I'll write that down. I was going to say, and he's not raking in residual checks from that one?
Oh, he is. I mean, he's making more than what Emo Phillips made off of UHF.
All right, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, just a lot of other news. It's just a lot of speculation. Archie is doing a lot of stuff. They teased 4 new books coming out in March, 4 different one-shots. A Sabrina one-shot. A Jughead werewolf thing, little Archie thing, kind of like what they did with the crossover with Tiny Titans with DC with Franco and Balthazar, and they're doing like maybe another rock and roll thing. I can't pull up the link right now because the site that we use for our news is not the best site in the world.
The Archies probably is what that's going to be.
Possibly.
Sugar, sugar, ba-da-da-da, honey, honey.
Yes, you are correct. It is actually about the Archies.
Mm-hmm.
But the little Archie one-shot with Balthazar and Franco, I'll be getting that. I like those guys. They do fun stuff.
Look at Archie, like, getting into everything now. Mm-hmm. Like,
now, the Sabrina the Teenage Witch thing does not cross over with, like, the Afterlife with Archie stuff, but the Jughead werewolf one may. Like, it's definitely like the cover is supposed to make you believe that that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not it actually is part of that continuity, I don't know.
So then it'll come out all the time, is what you're saying.
Well, it's just a one shot. It's being solicited here 3 months plus in advance, so they've got plenty of lead time to get one book out, Todd. I have faith.
I don't know. I think they're putting all their eggs in the Riverdale basket on the CW.
I think they are too. But I don't know if I'll be watching that show.
What? I think that's going to be the best of all the CW shows.
Even I have my limits, Todd. Even
what? You love Archie, though.
I do. But there's something about this show that's just not appealing to me. It's not speaking to me. It's not singing my tune, Jack.
All right. It's not singing Sugar Sugar to you?
No, it's not singing Sugar Sugar. Side note, unrelated to anything. Do you remember the episode of Saturday Night Live when Quentin Tarantino was the host, maybe for the very first time? Right. Sometime in the 90s, perhaps?
Probably. We had his high point.
It may have been Travolta, maybe. Like, right after Pulp Fiction, maybe?
Okay.
And they did a thing where it was Quentin Tarantino's Welcome Back, Kotter.
I do kind of remember that.
And you know how on Welcome Back, Kotter, Gabe Kaplan always tells stories about, was it his brother?
Or his brother, a joke, or his uncle, or whoever.
Right. In this one, he told a story how his uncle or his brother or whomever it was picked up by a bunch of guys in the van, and they beat him to death to the tune of Sugar Sugar. So that's what I think of whenever anyone mentions the song Sugar Sugar. Specific skit from Saturday Night Live from 20 years ago.
And stay out of Riverdale.
Stuck up Riverdale punks think they're better than me. So they're, I don't want to say that there's no conventions this weekend, Todd.
Right.
There's one little convention taking place in Lumberton, North Carolina.
Ooh.
And the only reason I wasn't able to find it is because it's one of them ones that don't have, and again, I hate to say this, that they don't, it's not that they don't have a real website, they have just Facebook. Have a Facebook page.
Those are the best ones. Facebook pages are free.
They are free, but then I can't access your stuff when I'm doing my show notes.
They don't care.
I know they don't care. So if you are in the Lumberton, North Carolina area this weekend, go check out the convention at the Biggs Park Mall.
I have a feeling there won't be any conventions next weekend, though.
There actually is.
On Christmas?
Let me look.
Oh, Christmas convention would be awesome.
Now, I'll say this. There is one in the godless heathen country of Canada.
Oh, well, that doesn't count. They have geese on their money and it smells like maple syrup.
They call it a Boxing Day Bash.
Oh.
At the Ontario Plaza Hotel.
Boxing Day. Are they going to have Sugar Ray Leonard.
Sugar Sugar Ray Robinson? Sure, why yep. not?
Sugar Sugar Ray Leonard. My brain shut down for a second.
All right. You were having one of many mini strokes.
Yes. Oh, don't joke. But anyway.
Well, we're past that window, right? Mm-hmm. We're out of the woods. We never have to worry about it again, right?
We're out of Lumberton.
Somebody sent me an important message before that they might be giving a... I know you don't care about wrestling anymore, but they might be giving Luke Harper a new wood-themed nickname, and it made me sad.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
As long as he keeps the hanky.
Yes, I agree, as long as he keeps the hanky. So, while there are no conventions, there's only one little one this weekend and one little one next weekend, you can fill that void by heading over to soontobenamednetwork.com or soontobenamednetwork.tumblr.com, where you can check out a myriad of shows, ranging from this show After Dark, Podvocacy, Profane Argument, Puzzle Warriors 3, Talkin' Gimmicks, who have been on fire lately with like two episodes a week. Joey's going crazy. Mm-hmm. If I didn't mention Prodigal Sons podcast, I just did. Boom. Prime Defective. I don't know if that's still a thing. And I hear it on very good authority that after a several-month absence, Fresher and Parlance will be back this week as well.
Wow. It's a Christmas miracle.
It is a Christmas miracle. So any of these shows, whenever they become available, head over to soontobenamednetwork.com or soontobenamednetwork.tumblr.com, and you will see them when they go up or when I just do a bulk drop of all the links on Friday.
Right.
One or the other will happen. Our show is the one that I forget to do all the time.
Yeah, who needs to promote this thing here?
This monstrosity.
Mm-hmm.
So digital sales, there's actually a bunch of sales. I may have lamented here or elsewhere that Comixology has not done their 12 Days of Christmas thing yet. And I'm very sad about that because that was always one of the things I looked forward to, getting that free comic book every day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I like free stuff. Some of the sales going on, the IDW sale is still ongoing for the month of December. They have a bunch of stuff there. We talked about it more last week. Dynamite is having a sale on Red Sonja stuff, and that ends at the end of this week. I cannot stress enough the Gail Simone stuff. If you look through it, the Gail Simone run was 18 issues, whether you get three trades, whether you get 18 single issues. Possibly my favorite comic that was published that year.
Could be.
That's really good, but they have a bunch of other Red Sonja stuff as well. Check that out. Marvel has a sale on Inhumans and X-Men stuff. And the only real thing that I could recommend out of that is the first trade of Jeff Lemire's Old Man Logan. That was really good.
Mm-hmm.
DC, on the other hand, is getting ready to push. It's so interesting that the two companies are having like these big crossovers at the same time, where Marvel is having X-Men versus Inhumans, and DC is having Justice League versus Suicide Squad. Where DC is taking, you know, two, I guess, higher-end properties and mashing them up together, whereas Marvel is taking, you know, They're doing stuff over there. They're doing a thing.
They're so human. They're inhuman.
Right. But the DC Justice League Suicide Squad sale is really good. A lot of good stuff in there. They have JLA, you know, the beginning of the Morrison run from the late 90s, that first trade. That is the pinpoint where Batman became kind of what we know Batman is today. You can kind of trace the origins of it back to that. They have a split trade, like the end of Morrison's run and the beginning of Mark Waid's run, which has the Tower of Babel storyline, which is one of the better Justice League stories of the last several years. But more importantly, they have the first three trades of the John Ostrander's classic Suicide Squad run on sale.
Oh my god, so good.
Right.
The Phantom Pie Thrower is the best.
Up to the Janus Directive. Up to and including the Janus Directive.
Ooh, I wonder if it has the tie-ins too.
Let me look.
Does it have like the Captain Adam?
It does.
That is a sweet deal.
It has Suicide Squad 26 to 30, Checkmate 15 to 18, Manhunter, Firestorm, and Captain Atom.
Look at that.
Right, so that is 30. 1, 2, 3. You would be able to get 36 issues of a complete story run from one of the greatest runs in the history of comic books for less than $24.
That's a deal.
That is a deal at, you know, if you bought those at cover price, that's a deal. But this is, you're buying them at half price. Less than half price. Oh.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
And again, this is just the sadly the state of the world where the main issues of the Justice League Suicide Squad, just the single issues of that story arc, are a dollar less than the individual trades of one of the best comic runs of all time. Hmm. Oh, boy. I know what I would do with my money.
You would bet it on the horses.
I wouldn't do something as foolish and say that Ryan Reynolds is going to win an award for acting.
Oh, my goodness. When he does...
It ain't going to happen, Todd. Not in my lifetime, it ain't going to happen.
What are you, the Stonecutters?
Yes. Oh, if I have to get Gutenberg on the blower.
Oh, my goodness.
Use my one favor to Big Steve.
Oh.
So, Marvel, of course, currently doesn't have their freebies up. But if in between this recording and them putting them up, or Comixology puts them up, or whatever it is, I will include them in the show notes.
It's like they try to make your life harder.
Right. I tend not to think that way. I like to try to think that when things happen, it's not a personal attack on me.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's the way the world is, and I need to figure out a way to make my life better.
You should try and do that.
I do. That is legitimately my daily struggle.
Mm. I have more of an Al Bundy outlook, personally. In the immortal words of Al Bundy, when I get up in the morning, I know it's not getting any better till I go back to sleep.
I do like that mindset, though. That is right up my alley.
There's more to it, but I'm not going into it here.
All right, fair enough. Mm-hmm. You know your business.
Yep.
So let's get into what we read from this past week. Todd, I'm going to let you kick things off, since we were both looking forward to coming. Dr. Aphra coming out, written by Kieran Gillen, with art by Kev Walker.
Right, and there was also a backup with art by Salvador LaRocca.
Yeah, but, you like him.
I do like him, but basically this is the story of Dr. Aphra after the events of Darth Vader 25. She's faked her death, so Darth Vader doesn't know she's alive, and now she's hunting artifacts a la Indiana Jones to pay off her massive debts that she owes around the galaxy, along with Triple Zero and BT. BT3, is it, or just BT?
It's Triple Zero and BT.
BT, which is what the book should really be called, but Dr. Aphra has a better ring to it, and their Wookiee bounty hunter sidekick, and this is her doing pretty much an Indiana Jones type thing in the beginning, and there's a nice swerve on it there that happens, and then we find out that as she's, you know, getting into her selling the artifact, that we begin to see where the problem lies and the troubles that she may have down the line, and I kind of want to see where that goes. But all in all, I had on the main story, I had tons of fun. This is one of the new great characters in Star Wars, and one of the things that I do enjoy about the Star Wars books now, and I didn't notice it before, but for some reason I notice it now flipping through the books, is that the credits for the writer, artist, editor, and all that stuff is in the Lucasfilm font, and I just enjoy that. I just noticed that for the first time just now.
I think I've noticed that. I don't think that's news to me.
Yeah. Just a weird thing that popped into my brain.
Gotcha. So I really like this book. I get what they were trying to do with the second feature, the backup story, kind of build in a little bit of her backstory, which is fine, but just the straightforward of this is who this character is, these who she's aligned herself with, this is what they can do, and this is what their plan is. This was as perfect as a first issue of a storyline gets.
Mm-hmm.
Did you need to read the last 25 issues plus annuals and crossovers and the one-shot special of Vader Down to understand what this character is about? No. But if you did, you kind of have a foot up on anybody else. But I really think that you can give this issue to someone and say, hey, you like Star Wars? Yeah, read this. And they'll be like, oh, it's an evil C-3PO, and it's an evil R2-D2, and it's an evil Chewbacca, and it's a kind of sort of evil Han Solo. I get this.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way of putting it. And I do like the backup story, because the backup story shows that she's always been a bit sketchy from being younger.
Yes.
And I think the backup story is going to play into things later.
Right. This is one of those things where, like, the second feature backup story is going to end as the next story arc is going to lead right into the end of that, if that makes any
right.
sense, what I just said there.
Right. And I almost feel that the problems that she has in the front story are because of the people she's screwed over in the backup story.
Gotcha.
Do you know what I'm trying to say? Like that this is going to come back to bite her, like in the main story. So I think it's all going to flow very well. And then Gillian has a track record of writing great stories in Darth Vader. So I'm ready to see where this goes and if it does come back around.
I feel it will. Like I said, it was a really good book.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed this one very much.
I did too.
So, moving on to the next book, and this was one of those ones where I made the executive order on following you on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Batman number 12, picking up in the middle of a storyline, the I Am Suicide storyline, as Batman had gotten his ramshackle crew together to go save the Psycho Pirate, a.k.a. in my mind, Pico Pirate, from Bane. Catwoman stabs him in the back, and this issue is essentially Batman going through all of Bane's defenses to get to Bane's, I guess, throne room, you would call it?
Right.
Okay. You had strong feelings about this issue.
Right, I did.
Go ahead.
That this was one of the best Batman issues that I've ever read. As you were saying, he's going, you know, from one side of the island to the other to get to Bane's throne room to get to Bane. That's really not what this book is about. That is almost an afterthought. Most of the art, you know, is him showing and fighting the resistance that's there and everything. But mostly the story is like a letter to Catwoman. And it's the story of Bruce's, like, everything that's happened and how, you know, he has feelings for Selina and she may be the only thing that could ease the pain that's in his life. He gets her, she gets him, kind of a deal. And he decides to tell the story of, like, where his mindset was after the death of his parents and where the name of the story I Am Suicide comes from. And let's just say when I was done with this book, there was Dusty Onions where I was reading it.
Uh-oh.
because I thought it was so emotional, and it just shows like the mindset of a man who would grow up to dress as a bat and fight crime and punch it in the face. And he even talks about how ludicrous the idea is. And in the end, I'm saddened by Batman and what he does. Like, this is the first time, like, Batman's the coolest of the cool. And I'm reading this and I'm like, this is a terrible life. This is a terrible, terrible life. And on top of that, we get hints that whatever's going on with Catwoman, he's like, the only reason I'm doing this is to get to the bottom of the lies that you are telling, because this is not you. And I'm like, all around, this is everything that I slightly, maybe sort of had a problem with the book. He, in a good way, he acknowledges in this and just breaks my heart reading this whole issue. And the art is amazing. Once again, this storyline, I'm really enjoying.
Right. I think we talked about it before. Mikhail Janine, I think that's mm-hmm. how you pronounce his name. We had talked about when this arc started, I think, about how blown away I was by this guy's art. And I was kicking myself. I'm like, why have I never seen this guy's art? And he had done like stuff like Justice League Dark and Grayson in the past. But there was just something a little bit different. Like the way this was colored, the way that it was inked, whatever it was, just made this art pop so much more. And I get with what you're saying. And obviously I gave you like the boilerplate of what this issue was about. And obviously you were going by what the words say.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we as a reader know, but tend to forget how terrible Bruce's life is.
Mm-hmm.
How terrible it was, how terrible it currently is, and how terrible it will be for the rest of his life. And more times than not, that gets pointed out to us, the reader, through Alfred. Because Alfred is always the one who sees, and I think was there an issue that we talked about maybe during this run, or another run, where Alfred says, like, I failed.
That was the first run when he asks Alfred, what did you do to comfort? I need to comfort Gotham Girl. What did you do to help me? And he's like, you dress up like a bat and fight criminals at night. He's like, I didn't help you. I failed you.
Right.
And which I thought was a brilliant moment. Like, King gets the Batman character. But go ahead.
So this is a continuation of that, because this is Batman, I guess, privately, you know, but we the reader see it, but privately admitting more or less what a mess he is.
Mm-hmm.
We know it. Everyone else knows it. But, like, he's aware of it, which I think makes him that much more, whatever word you want to use.
Tragic?
Tragic. There you go. But I really thought this was good, and it's an issue like this that makes me want you to read Tom King's Vision book that much more.
That, do you know what this made me really want to do?
Hmm.
Read Tom King's Vision book.
There you go.
Like, I have goosebumps, right? And you know me, I only say that when I mean it.
Right. Like, I know you. You hate everything.
I do hate everything. no, I'm a nice guy, and no, I'm not going to steal your shtick. But yeah, this literally, when this sounds so stupid, but when I was reading my books, I'm like, all right, I'm reading this. I'm reading Unworthy Thor. I'll come. So I read Batman and I get sad. And then I read Unworthy Thor and I'm like, this is a fun book. And then I thought about Batman number 12 again and I got sad again. And then I read Nightwing and I was like, this is an interesting book. And then I thought about Batman 12 and I got sad again. Like, when I say realistically and literally, this is the saddest the superhero book has made me in a long, long time. But that's a good thing. You know what I mean? I mean it in a good way. It was fantastic. I know I'm gushing a little too much. So,
well, no, and again, I'm glad that you are, because this is a really good book. And, you know, I'm sure this is doing very well in sales. Maybe not Scott Snyder numbers, but this is one of those issues that everyone should read. If you've ever read Batman in your life, read this.
And if you're a Bat-Cat fan, like, this is for you. Like, this is him laying it all out there about Selina. And I think that's an important, because I don't want to say too much, but there's something he says about, like, the one time I'm okay is this. And you're like, wow, that's intense. And, like, if you could fix that, you could be happy. And it's never going to happen. And it's, and that's even more slams more tragedy on top, if that makes any sense. Just tragedy everywhere for Batman.
I agree. But still a great book.
Right. Good, though. Like, good tragedy.
So another book that was good in its own way, in a different way, is Nightwing number 10. Mm-hmm. Written by Tim Seeley with art by Marcus Toe. From the previous issue, where he kind of has the heart-to-heart talk with the different Batman. And we've been talking about Nightwing a lot on the show, and that's because it's a really good book.
Right.
Just going back through stuff that we've talked about in the past. But this is Dick Grayson essentially going back to Bloodhaven, where he was in the Chuck Dixon run in the 90s, which was, you know, that's my Nightwing. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't read the Teen Titans stuff from the 80s. A lot of the other stuff in between there, that was my run of Nightwing that made me such a fan of Nightwing. And anytime they put it on a new Nightwing book, it's because of that run that I will always give a new Nightwing book a try.
Mm-hmm. And then they made the mistake of blowing up Bloodhaven.
Right, they blew up Bloodhaven during Infinite Crisis.
No, was it Cry for Justice?
Oh, no, they had the big battle in Bloodhaven in Infinite Crisis. You're right, they blew it up in Cry for Justice. Or was it not, like, it wasn't Cry for Justice, but it was, like, the weird Green Arrow one-shot that led into Cry for Justice, maybe?
Maybe. It was not a good run, let's put it that way.
So Bloodhaven's back. They're aware of their poor reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to do things to improve tourism.
Right. And the big thing for me, I want more Bloodhaven slogans.
Right.
That was my favorite thing about this book. Get your blood up. And Bloodhaven, a scary name, but a wonderful place to visit. I'm like, you're the worst PR company ever.
Right. So they get all excited when they see that Nightwing is there, but Dick is there to try to help in both guises, both in his civilian guise as Dick Grayson and at night as Nightwing fighting crime. And his name escapes me. It's not Gorilla Grodd that he fights, but it's another gorilla from Gorilla City that he fights in this issue.
Gorilla Grimm.
Gorilla Grimm. There you go.
And I'm like, and in my brain, being a Flash fan and Gorilla City, I'm like, was there a Gorilla Grimm? I don't remember a Gorilla Grimm. And he says he fought Gorilla Grimm with Batman years ago. And I'm like, that's a possibility, but I can't find this anywhere online. So I don't know if this is the first appearance of Gorilla Grimm or a reboot of Gorilla Grimm. But either way, I should hate Gorilla Grimm, but I love Gorilla Grimm.
Yeah, this was another good issue. Just, you know, kind of getting... Nightwing currently with the Batverse, I think, works best on his own.
Right.
Not teaming up with anyone. You want to have somebody pop in every now and then, every once in a great while, that's fine. But for him to work, I think, while Batman exists, he needs to be on his own. And this is, I think, why that book worked in the 90s, and I hope they will continue down that path with this.
Right. It's tough to live in the shadow of the Bat.
Yes. So, again, this was a really good issue as well.
Yes.
I'm glad we picked good things to talk about.
Yes. That's what we do.
At least what we try to do.
Right.
So, that's what we read from this past week. Let's get into what we're looking forward to this week. Every Tuesday around 5:30 Eastern time or so, I put up the poll post, which is a link to all the books that are coming out this week, whether you get your books in print, whether you get them in trade, whether you get them digitally, however it is that you get your books, be forewarned, be forearmed, know what's coming out, be ready. Now, Todd and I attempt to guess what the other is most looking forward to coming out this week. Todd's still up by 1 on the correct guesses with me with 31 correct guesses. I have 30 correct guesses. We only have, what, 3 more weeks left in the year?
That's right, and one of those weeks is going to be Secret Wars number 8. We'll both probably pick that, so...
Civil War, but okay.
Civil War, I'm sorry. Secret War, is that over yet? I forget.
I think it just ended the other day.
Gotcha.
So, you started the show, so you go first?
Yes. I'm looking over your list, and is it Doctor Strange, Punisher, Magic Bullets number one?
It is.
Yay, Magic Bullets.
So this was originally an Infinity comic, which starts out digitally with like some funky stuff that they throw in there.
Mm-hmm.
And now being collected in print, which is more my speed. One of the few things that I thoroughly enjoyed about Original Sin was all the interactions between the Punisher and Doctor Strange.
Right.
Now, granted, it's not Jason Aaron writing this book. If I'm not mistaken, I think the writer of this book either did or does write some of the Transformers stuff over at IDW. Mm-hmm. I know there is some IDW Transformers relaunch stuff coming out this week. We didn't get a chance to do it for previews books this week, but we are definitely going to try to fit it in next week at a special request of Jason Kirk from Podvocacy. But no offense, Jason, the Punisher and Doctor Strange take 1,000 precedences over a bunch of weird robots that turn into cars.
Yeah, robots.
Who needs them? So looking at your list, Todd, you have a lot of oddballs in there. You got a lot of curveballs in there for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to pick, for you, the one that you're most looking forward to coming out this week, is the DC Rebirth Holiday Special number one.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And you don't even want to know how much that book is.
I'm going to guess that book is $7.
Add two.
Ooh.
That is a $9.99er.
Oh, boy.
But it's filled with holiday goodness.
Are you going to have enough? Is it a 90-page giant?
I think it is like an 80-page giant. I think it's square-bound, actually.
While I knew that that was the one that you were going to most be looking forward to, I'm intrigued to see what your thoughts on the Gwenpool Christmas book is.
Well, first of all, you're using the wrong phrase. It's a holiday special, Mr. Sposto.
Excuse me.
It has all the holidays in it.
Yeah.
It will equally represent everything, and there will probably even be a New Year's Eve story in both of them. So that's the way we are now.
I do know, and I don't know if it'll be on your list, but next week's listing has the Luke Cage and Iron Fist Sweet Christmas Special.
Is that a one-shot or an issue in the run?
It is by the same creative team, but it is a one-shot. It doesn't take the place of one of the actual issues.
That has a possibility. I don't just get any Christmas special, but that's one of those where I have to do the whole equation where it's Luke Cage and Power Fist plus artist and writer plus, if that's a $9.99 book, I'm not getting it.
I don't think that's a $9.99 book.
But you know what I'm saying. I have to balance the good versus the evil in there.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Totally. But a holiday, it fills my heart with joy when they don't miss a year and miss out with a holiday special.
You didn't get the election special?
That's not a holiday.
Election Day is not a holiday?
No, it is not. Election right. Day is not a holiday.
Fair enough. You know your business.
I know what holidays are. And Election Day is not a holiday. Election Day is your civic duty, but it's not a holiday.
It should be a holiday if they wanted people actually to vote.
That's right.
Let me see how high this horse is. Excuse me.
Oh, boy.
So while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to check out some of the other stuff that we got going on over there, whether it be past episodes of this show, past and future episodes of Longbox Heroes After Dark, past weekly questions, past pull posts, just in case, you missed a week or something. And hey, go back and find an old episode of something and give it a listen to. Howard the Dave, one of our longtime listeners, was talking about listening to the Fantastic Four wrap-up episode that we did with Jason Kirk and Mark Cole.
That's right. He mentioned we did it at IHOP, which angered me because we did it at Denny's. And like I said, I'm still shaking off the thing sauce.
I was angered by it because I was reminded that we don't have an IHOP near us.
I don't even know where the nearest IHOP is. It's probably somewhere near the closest Arthur Treacher's.
Oh, no. Well, that's another story for another day. I'm sad I didn't get a chance to talk more about the geographical locations of my favorite fish joint. But again, let's not get into the South where they're all replaced by Captain D's, but we're not going to talk about that right now.
Oh, boy.
But I was going through. I'm like, oh, you know, he talked about it, so let me, you know, kind of piggyback off it and send it out with the link from the episode. And as I'm going back through episodes of After Dark, just reading the titles of the episodes, I'm like, oh, I want to listen to that episode. I'm like, no, I hate listening to myself talk. I don't listen to myself on podcasts. What am I doing? And then I'm going through the list of things. I'm like, oh, that I remember that one. That was a good one. I'm like, no, I'm not listening to myself on podcasts.
Oh my, maybe we should listen to one of our podcasts and do a commentate on a podcast that we did. That would be a great idea. That's almost like art.
That's the snake eating its own tail at that point. So
that's when we just hang it up is when we do that.
Yes. So also while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to check out the Amazon link across the top of the page. Christmas time and all other holidays are almost upon us. There is still plenty of time for you to get your gifts in time for the holiday season, whether you're a Prime member or not, depending on what you choose. And we have gotten a lot of purchases through our Amazon click-through. For me to name them all, that would be a separate episode for us just to name what was purchased in the last week. I'm not bragging, but it's been a good month for December, and I thank all of you, every single one of our listeners who purchased something, and some people I know who purchased stuff, other ones I don't. Like, I know the Deadly Hands of Kung Fu Omnibus was purchased by the aforementioned Mark Cole. Someone purchased a Zippo Sword Pocket Lighter.
Ooh.
Someone purchased the Marvel Legends series Beetle action figure.
I wonder who that was.
I have no idea. Someone also purchased a Revell Snaptite Build and Play Imperial Star Destroyer model kit.
Sweet. I hope that's actual size.
I don't think so. I hope it is, but I don't think it is. Mm-hmm. Someone, Stan Malibu, purchased Beanie Babies in Buckwheat the Lynx and a Skunk.
Oh my goodness.
Uh-huh.
Ugh.
Remind me to tell you about Stan Malibu a little bit later on, too.
All right, I'm writing down Stan Malibu.
And what he's up to.
Oh boy, I can only imagine.
Yeah. So again, thank you everyone who purchased something through our Amazon link. It helps us immensely, and if you've already done your Christmas shopping, or you're looking to get a gift for that hard-to-shop-for person, hey, who doesn't like cheaply priced, high-quality t-shirts and or cheaply priced, high-quality stickers? You could click our little store button and buy one of our fancy shirts in a red, black, and white design by our good friend Tom Derenick, as well as a sticker of the same design in full, vibrant color.
Yes!
Available in shipping time for the holidays.
That's right, if Joe can remember.
I remember everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, last but not least, before we dive into an extended and going on hiatus TV talk.
Can I just interrupt one second?
Uh-oh.
We also had a Todd's Art Attack this week.
What?
We did, because someone doesn't check anymore, but that's okay.
I have it in my note to check, but I never check.
What? You know how I know? Because it was me.
All right. Oh, it's a concept sketch of Hawken drawn by Tim Truman.
Remember when we went to Reading together?
I do.
And Tim Truman was there. That's where I got it.
There's a fantastic story in the annals of Hollywood where Steven Seagal meets with some movie producers, and he comes in and says, I just read the greatest screenplay of all time. And they asked him, well, who wrote it? And his response was, I did. Hey, Todd, who was this week's Art Attack? Whose Art Attack was this?
It was mine.
You're the Steven Seagal of the show, just so you know. That's,
I am the Steven Seagal. He's starting to look more like me now anyway.
High praise or faint praise?
High faint praise?
Right. Highfalutin praise.
But yes, and my favorite part was he wrote down at the bottom that I should keep my powder dry. And
oh,
I have been doing that ever since. I never let my powder get moist.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Fair enough.
But I love it. It's a fun miniseries. If you like those Vertigo Jonah Hex minis, it's kind of in the same vein. Go pick up Tim Truman, co-written with his son Benjamin Truman. A great fun time.
I will do a better job to check Todd's art attack.
That's right. Who knows? I may have one next week.
Oh, boy.
It was me.
Sounds like a threat.
Okay.
So, best single issue. There's a lot of good single issues. I was fishing for more suggestions. But I like the suggestions that we got from our listeners. We got Mark Cole mentioning Animal Man number 5, the Coyote Gospel.
I have opinions on that.
All right. We got another one from a gentleman by the name of Random Fan, who mentioned the Wicked and Divine issue number 13, saying it is absolutely one of the hardest issues to read, but so important to read. And a longtime listener to the show, fan of the show, Stiff Peg Pete, he wanted to choose just any issue of the pre-New 52 Jonah Hex, but he finally decided on the Mighty Thor number 385, where it's just Thor and Hulk fighting each other.
Which is always fun.
Yes. So, Todd, what about you?
I wasn't sure if it counted.
All right.
Until I read your write-up of the poll question this week.
Look at you and, reading stuff.
And I went with Sandman number 8.
Mm-hmm.
That will always be, to me, the softball episode of The Simpsons for Sandman.
Right.
Where up to that point, Neil Gaiman was just trying to do Alan Moore's Swamp Thing with the Dream King. And then right around there is when he's like, you know what? To heck with this. I'm doing my own thing. And it's really when Sandman becomes its own thing. And if you don't love it at that point, there's no point in going on.
Right, because those first 6 issues are like more of a superhero thing almost. You know,
right.
Like with Dr. Destiny and all that other stuff, and him going, beginning his quest to get his armaments, I guess you would call them, back.
Right.
Then we get this issue, then we get the next issue that sets up the Doll's House, I guess, that relationship that he had.
Right.
And then it's at that point where it's off and running to the book that it was to become, but this, as you mentioned, was the first issue to begin down that road.
Right. And beautifully drawn. It's perfect.
Yes. It's a great issue. I agree wholeheartedly. It's a really good issue. But not my favorite single issue. Not the best single issue.
Right.
The best single issue, Todd, is Flash number 182.
Is that the Captain Cold origin story?
That is the Captain Cold origin story by Jeff Johns and Scott Collins. I had picked up the Flash at the behest of both you and Dave, our local retailer. Jeff Johns was co-writing and then took over the full writing chores on JSA. Right around the same time that he started doing Flash. And they did that Iron Heights special.
Right.
And it was at that time that I was reading both. And I really, like, that was the beginning of The Flash for me. Whereas, you know, we joke around all the time that Daredevil didn't begin until Mark Waid started writing him. I can't make the joke that Flash began when Jeff Johns started writing him, because I enjoyed that Jeff Johns run so much. I went back and I got pretty much everything that was collected or that I can get my hands on that came prior.
And I was lucky enough to go from Mark Waid into Jeff Johns. Boy, was that the, like, all joking aside, the golden age of Flash right there. Oof. But that is a great issue. And people forget one of the most beautiful Brian Boland covers ever made.
Absolutely. Just so striking, just so realistic, tells you everything that you need to know about the character. The background is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And they give a little bit of pathos to Captain Cold. They give you his motivations. They give you so much about one character in one issue. And I say to you, if you are a listener of this show and you are a fan of the Flash TV show, as you should be, and you like Wentworth Miller's portrayal of Captain Cold, go seek out this issue.
Mm-hmm.
If you like Captain Cold on the TV show, you will love this issue.
And that was when Jeff Johns was on a roll with, it would be like, all right, I'm going to do my Flash storyline, and now I'm going to do my Captain Cold origin, and now I'm going to do a storyline, and now you're going to get your Heatwave origin, and now I'm going to do a storyline, you're going to get your Mirror Master origin. And those villain, like, they should just trade those villain one-shots in a Rogues trade, and I would buy it in a second.
Right, collecting up all those single issues. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Not a bad idea.
I mean, granted, they had epilogues and prologues, but still, you're like, just great stuff.
So thanks to everyone who contributed, said whatever their favorite issue was, or otherwise. Thanks again. So we're getting toward the end of the year here, so this is when we kind of start softballing things, kind of doing the lazy version of things. Next week's best will be Best Comic Thing of 2016.
Ooh, lots of comics things happened in 2016.
Right. Are you talking about a comic? Are you talking about an original graphic novel? Are you talking about a TV show? Are you talking about a movie? If it's tangentially related to comics, and you thought it was the best thing of it for 2016, let us know, and we will compile them all up and talk about them next week.
Makes me wonder what the question the week after that will be.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Gotcha.
So that concludes the main portion of the main show. We are going to get into some TV talk here with Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Walking Dead. I guess you would call them mid-season finales. And if you did not watch them, do not want them spoiled, or don't care, we bid you adieu. We'll catch you all here next week, and we'll give you like a second or two while we start talking about the TV stuff. All right. Let's get into The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
So, we are back in, and I'll have questions for you, of course. This episode is them confronting Julian about being Dr. Alchemy. More stuff with Savitar. We find out that before becoming a detective, Julian, and again, I'll stay away from calling him Draco Malfoy to prevent any sort of confusion, mm-hmm. but Julian was like an archaeologist sort of thing. He found the Philosopher's Stone, and this is where we are.
Right.
So, apparently he has blackouts and becomes Dr. Alchemy because of the Philosopher's Stone. And it's Savitar coming through the Philosopher's Stone, using Julian and others as his way to come into our world.
Apparently.
We learn that Savitar was the first person ever to be gifted with the Speed Force, and it turned him into this monster that he was. He's coming after Barry because Barry is too powerful, Barry has mucked with the time stream, all of these things.
Right. Barry's going to do something, apparently.
Right, that's Barry's going to do stuff. So they get their hands in the Philosopher's Stone, they try to speak to Savitar through Julian, that doesn't work, the Philosopher's Stone tricks Sisko into opening it up so he can see his brother Dante again, and to get rid of the Philosopher's Stone, Barry accidentally goes into the future and sees Iris be killed by Savitar, and then has to be convinced not to stop it happening, because of course the answer to everything, even after everything that we've learned, 9 episodes into this season and two previous seasons, full of episodes, you cannot fix these things by continuing to muck up with the time stream.
Well, this is a little, I at least will give him, this is a little different. He went into the future, so I'm okay with him trying to stop something that he sees happening in the future because it hasn't happened yet. But, and even Jay, who you didn't mention, shows up, which I thought was cool, kind of says, you know, like, these are possibilities. Just don't, like, focus on it because you don't want to dwell too much. And I was kind of like, okay. And I could see how he'd want to not have Iris get killed, which is understanding. But it's just one of those things that whenever we see Barry time travel, we go, oh, God, what's going to happen? Like, how is he going to mess this up? And so far, I'm okay with it. And we'll see where it goes. The two things that I remember most about this episode were, one, him going to Earth 3 to get Jay, and him fighting the trickster on that Earth was fantastic. And the helmet, I just get around to selling me one. I want a Jay helmet. There's no doubt about that. And the other thing was, why is Wally West so grumpy?
Oh, boy.
Because I didn't mind that, like, he wants to get out there and help. But when he, what are they calling him now? What version of Wells is this? HR?
Earth 19, they said.
Right, but aren't they calling him HR? Because then
that before. He's HR.
Right, because there was Harrison, Harry, now we're HR. HR says, I will help you, but none of your family wants me to. So what do you say we have a deal where I help you and you don't tell anybody? And as soon as they get back, he's like, I want to help. They're no, but HR says I'm faster. You know, he's been helping me. And I'm like, you just outed him. Like the whole deal was he wanted to help you in secret. And I don't know. I just thought that was a jerky thing to do. I don't know. I'm disliking Wally more and more.
It's the impetuousness of youth. It's him wanting to be a speedster and nobody letting him do so. They are letting him be one now, so I think he'll be okay.
Right, because he got the present, which is always good to give your super suit at a Christmas when there's somebody who's there who doesn't know. That's the best time.
Oh, but yeah, and then now Julian knows everything as well. Julian knows that Barry's the Flash, and apparently he's okay with it. He comes to hang out, and I guess Julian is going to be one of the helpers going forward.
That's right. I thought it was an okay episode.
Right, I thought it was an okay episode. Mark Hamill's still disturbing as Earth 3 Trickster. You're getting all of your little relationships built up, but pun intended, it seems as though there are some stories that they could have been doing a little bit more of a slow burn with. They're wrapping up in a much quicker fashion.
Right.
Obviously, Savitar is the overarching thing. Where does this fit in with the actual stuff with Dr. Alchemy, I guess? Does this line up correctly?
In the comic, you mean?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Dr. Alchemy never had anything to do with Savitar.
Okay. You being the Flash comic aficionado.
Savitar made one appearance and then went away.
Okay.
And he was alone, and it is probably one of my favorite speedster storylines that Wally fought, because we forget that they're stealing most of Wally's stories. Well, you remember, but as it goes on, so I'm like, I want to see where this goes, because this is almost nothing like what Savitar was.
Right.
So I don't know where it's going. I want to see what happens.
Gotcha. So Legends of Tomorrow mid-season.
Right.
They go to the 20s in Chicago to stop Thawne and Damian Dark from helping Al Capone.
Yes.
And they have Malcolm Merlyn with them.
The Legion of Doom is getting bigger.
There you go. Now, they haven't called themselves the Legion of Doom in the TV show yet, have they?
I don't think so.
Listen, until they have a giant base that looks like a Black Manta's helmet in a swamp somewhere, then they ain't getting to be the Legion of Doom.
That's crazy. That's almost like the heroes getting together in a place that looks like the Hall of Justice.
Oh, man. And they did it, too. But these guys aren't living in no giant funky base in a swamp yet.
You never know yet.
Yet. So while this is all going on, of course, Heatwave is having visions, much like I do on a daily basis, of Captain Cold, telling him not to become a good guy. Keep being evil. Don't sacrifice yourself for these people like I did.
Right.
And obviously, these visions are all in his head, or are they? Because he's the only one who sees them.
I will admit, this episode moved Heatwave down, Team Heatwave to the second villain. And it did, I have to sorely admit, it moves someone up to, I'm no longer Team Heatwave as number one Flash bad guy. And I know it will warm your heart to go, Eobard has moved into that top spot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because him in this episode, everything that's going on with Cold, I thought was cool. But Heatwave, I like, but Eobard doing his thing where he even has the device that made him look like Wells.
Yes.
And he changed it. He's like, it's not going to kill you, but it's going to hurt. And as soon as he brought it out, I'm like, oh, that's the device. I know what that is. And then he turns into him, and it's just so cool. Like, everything Eobard does is just the evilest of evil. So I'm down with Reverse Flash more and more every time I see him. And I want to figure out where he's from in all this, because with all the mucking of Flashpoint, and is this the original, like, where in the timeline, where does he fit? Mm-hmm. Which I think is an interesting storyline.
I would say probably some nebulous place, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with you as well. I've really enjoyed him. I think we discussed this from the first episode of Flash this season, where, like, Barry in Flashpoint has him locked up.
Mm-hmm.
And how evil he was there.
Where he's like, I'm going to have to kill your mother again, and I'm going to make you beg me to do it.
Right. It was like, ooh, you know what I mean? It was like it gave you chills sort of thing.
And then he made him beg him to do it.
Right. All right. Gun to your head. And again, we're crossing the streams on this one. More evil villain, Eobard or Negan?
Okay. Evil?
Yes.
Negan. Because there's a Mark Waid story where I almost feel sorry. Okay, are we taking the TV show Negan and the TV show Eobard? Because
yes, it's just TV show, TV show.
All right, right now. Ooh, that's a tough one.
Uh-huh.
That is a tough one.
Oh, now see, it's easy for me.
Okay, well, I'm sorry.
I'm just saying.
Who's yours then?
Eobard.
Okay.
Eobard is more evil because we have yet to see a redeeming quality in Eobard. Right. He knows he's evil and is doing evil things.
Okay.
In some weird, warped, twisted way, if Negan was to tell the story of his life and what's going on, he's the good guy. In Negan's mind, he does not see, I don't think he sees himself as the bad guy.
No.
He might be a bad person, but not the bad guy. Whereas Eobard, there is no question. He's the bad guy. He'll tell you he's the bad guy. He's no redeeming positive qualities.
He literally named himself the Reverse Flash.
Right. That would be like if Negan decided to call himself the Reverse Rick.
That would be fantastic. Negan might be the Reverse Rick.
I think if anything, Negan is the Reverse Daryl.
Oh. Reverse Daryl.
Because I'm not 100% sold that Rick is a good guy either in all this.
Gotcha. Well, before we get to Walking Dead, I just want to say it's interesting that the MacGuffin for Legends of Tomorrow is going to be the Spear of Destiny.
Yes.
Which was a big thing in the old Justice Society stories, so I find that intriguing.
Yes.
So I want to see where that goes. And I don't think Captain Cold was all a vision either. I think there's something going on with that.
You think it's a time aberration?
Something. That there's something more to it than just Heatwave seeing Captain Cold, if you know what I mean.
As much as I want Captain Cold back in the show, I just think this was all in Heatwave's head. Something happened. Maybe there was a bump on the head that we missed. Maybe a little bit too much of the hooch. And this is just his mind playing tricks on him.
Got ya.
But I thought it was a good episode. And of course we get the stuff with Sarah and Dr. Stein about his daughter now being a time aberration and, how he stopped her from killing Damian Dark and now he's messing with the timeline and how she's kind of come to terms with the mistake that he made, because I guess the mistake he made was for good because his daughter is good.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it okay.
Unless something she does messes everything up in the future.
Right.
We'll see.
We'll see. But I'm enjoying Legend of Tomorrow still. This was a good episode. Again, so far the mid-season finales haven't been blow-away episodes, but they're still good. You know, they're just as good, if not on par with the other episodes of the seasons.
Right. Now on to the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead with the good guy of the story, Negan.
Oh, boy. The reverse Daryl.
That's right.
Who shaves himself. Ooh, boy.
Oh, that was the best part about this episode. I was like, I don't care if his jacket is zipped or not, but he's more my Negan now that he's shaved.
I'm like, he needs to be bigger. He needs to be a thicker individual.
He needs a wider face.
Yes.
See, I get what you're saying, but Negan, he has the voice and the authority. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like when he was like, get my axe, Rick, or he was yelling when he had had Lucille. I'm like, that's Negan. That sells it. That's fine. And he has the wild-eyed look in his face. So the fact that he doesn't have that puffy face that Negan has, I'm fine with.
I'm fine with it too. But you know, he's really good. What's his face? Who's
I call
Jeffrey
him
Dean Morgan. He does a fantastic job as Negan.
I call him Batman's daddy.
Batman's dad, the reverse Daryl Negan.
He has many nicknames.
That's his full title. When he wins a Golden Globe for acting, I hope underneath it says Batman's dad, the reverse Daryl Negan.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the episode where, you know, we've seen through the season, like, kind of everyone's splintered off. And they all have the plan to stop the Saviors, but they're all doing it separately.
Right.
And for weeks I'd said, you know, y'all have the same plan. If you stop going around in secret and you just all work together, you might actually be able to take Negan down. Well, they finally do by the end of the episode. They decide that that's what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But not before, what's the, so Negan's still there waiting for Rick to come home.
Uh-huh.
And my favorite line is when Rick finally shows up and Negan explains to him everything that's gone on in his absence. Like, oh, this person was rude to me. And then this person tried to kill me. And then this, that, the other thing. He goes, your son came to me. He shot a bunch of my people. And I brought him back home for you. I made him spaghetti. I love that line. That was the best.
Pass the rolls. That was my favorite.
But yeah, so I thought it was a good episode. You got your gore. You got your funky zombie stuff. You got everything that a Walking Dead episode needs to have. Daryl looking all good and, you know, how the people like Daryl to look. Tread lightly on that one.
Yep. And we got, I was sad to see Fat Joey go, though.
Oh, that was a bummer. But you knew once he showed any sign of weakness to Daryl after everything that Daryl has been through, he was not long for this world.
I hope to find out. Okay, because now Daryl's back, and he got Abraham killed. Or no, he got
Glenn
killed. He got Glenn killed. And in his mind, you know, the doctor who died the way Abraham did in the comic with the arrow through her eye, he got her killed too.
That's true.
By letting Dwight go with his crossbow and everything, he got her killed. So that's two people who got killed. What I would really like to find out is that it was Fat Joey who left the note for him to get out.
Oh, boy.
And he killed the guy who let him out. That would be, it'd be like, that'd be the trifecta. So.
You're saying Daryl is cursed.
Daryl's going to get you killed is what's going to happen. Poor Fat Joey. I'll miss him.
So, yeah, but like I said, this was a, you know, even though it was an extended episode, it was a very busy episode, a lot of stuff was going on, but it was essentially just to get us to the point where I knew they were all getting to, which is they're finally going to work together to take Negan down.
That's right, the Negan Revenge Squad.
Right. So,
but
oh, go ahead.
The one storyline that I was kind of like, you know how they all seem to work?
Yeah.
It was like, okay, this one is doing this, and this one's doing it. The one that I was like, I have no idea what's going on, is Michonne.
Okay.
I was like, there was a lot of nothing there with Michonne. And then the other thing was, Carol cleans a house very well. Like, when she's on the couch reading or whatever she was doing, and she realized that somebody's put something like that, that he's put the stuff on the porch and walked away, she gets up, I'm like, that house is spotless for, like, you know, like, that she just found this house that was, like, you know, been abandoned for 2 years or whatever. Not an ounce of dust. There's no stains, nothing. It looks Joe, it looks better than my house. And I live in my house.
Well.
So.
I think you answered your own question there, pal.
But I just thought that was amusing. And I don't know what the one guy's breakdown was in the little trailer throwing bottles. That kind of was weird. But anyway. Yeah.
So, yeah, but I will say this was definitely an episode that did not need
an hour and a half.
No, did not need an hour and a half.
I thought there was a lot of filler in this, too. I thought you could have cut away a lot.
Right, whereas in the previous episodes where they did the big, long episodes, everything felt it was meaty enough to be in there.
Okay, you can have that opinion.
Yeah. What parts of the previous episodes did you feel were filler?
A lot of them, like over the, anytime they have an hour and 20 minute episode, it's usually too long. It really is. Last week's might have been the only one that I didn't mind. Like the season finale when Rick ended up killing the remember the hairstylist who had the drunken husband?
Yeah.
That episode was too long. Usually the mid-season finales and the season finales, as much as I love them because a lot of intense things happen, I do believe they go, we need them to be an hour and a half so we could slide some extra commercials in. That's all it is.
That is true. That is
and the... it shows with, like, with this one, it was like the Michonne storyline. I'm like, we didn't need, like, this is... I understand that they have to have everybody come to their thing and go and realize we need to get together, but hers is like, I don't even care. And it doesn't have anything to do with everything she was doing all season.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the other ones, at least when you have Glenn's wife, it's like Maggie. It's like, I get why she wants to do this. She's like all gung ho because they killed Glenn. And it's like, Michonne's like, I'm just going to wander around in the woods for a while, catch a savior and, I'm going to go get the team together. I'm like, I don't know. I don't understand it. But go ahead.
They'll get on point. I have faith. But I didn't think this one was a filler. This one did feel like a little fillery. The other two longer episodes this season, I did not feel that way.
Right.
But it was still a good episode. I enjoyed it.
Yep. And now we have nothing for a couple of weeks.
Oh, we'll just talk about more comic books, actual comic books.
Yes, we should.
Yes. So is there anything else that we need to talk about for this week?
I can't think of anything.
All right. So for Todd, this is Joe closing out episode 324 of Long Box Heroes, and we will catch you all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Boop! All right. Wow. Last week we got 11 right. 11 out of 16. That's pretty good. And we are currently in 24th place. 24th place out of 38 people. That's pretty good.
I hope we one day will be first.
Well, we only got 3 more weeks left to go. So let's get some good picks going here. So who do you think would win? A Ram or a Seahawk?
Ram-munition.
A dolphin or a jet?
Dolphin.
A bulldog or a buffalo?
Buffalo.
A packer or a bear?
Bear.
A steeler or a tiger?
A tiger.
A lion or a giant?
Lion.
A titan or a chief?
Titan.
A colt, which is like a horse, or a Viking?
Viking.
An eagle or a raven?
Raven.
A jaguar or a bull?
A bull.
A 49er or a falcon?
Falcon.
A saint or a cardinal?
A saint.
A patriot or a bronco?
Bronco.
A charger or a raider? A buccaneer or a cowboy? And last, a panther or a redskin?
Redskin.
All right. Those are our picks. How many do you think we're going to get out of the 16 right?
Oh.
All of them? All right. Those were our picks. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Anything else you want to say?